This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Thank you. Please be seated. And Dee will take the children out. Yes. Any children? Yeah, there we go. There's one. Couple. I think they all did the vacation church camp. So we have just a couple. All right, she's dancing. Look at her. Do it again. They did a lot of dancing. We had a service last night for the children, and there's a lot of dancing and singing. It was a lot of fun. I thought it was just wonderful. So, first of all, happy Father's Day. Because if you read in the paper, we get no respect, right? Right? So happy Father's Day. And My quick apologies. Turn off the video for a second. I got a confession. Not kidding. My daughter was calling me from Norway, where she is visiting with her boyfriend, and I went, I gotta go. It's like 9:25. I went, I gotta go. So sorry if we started a little bit late, but that's because she called and I just got lost in time. So anyhow, today we got kind of a nice easy gospel. Here we are in Mark, like Father Marty mentioned last week. Now we're starting to get into the parables. And this one about the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like the sower, the seed. The kingdom of God is like the mustard seed, the smallest of seed. It grows a big bush and branch. So it's this idea of, and We put a sign outside the gates. What is the kingdom of God? What does that mean? And it's always been kind of a question mark. And I think it's meant to be like that, right? It's really the vision. You can put the vision of God is like this. The vision of God is like that. So most of us are not farmers, right? Did anybody grow up being a farmer? There's a few. There's just a few left, right? Just a generation ago, it was a whole different thing, right? Or a couple of generations. My grandpa up in Wisconsin was a farmer, but then he saw a car, and he went, I want to do that. And then that was the end of that farming family. Anyhow, so we're not farmers, but what do? We still grow things. We get this idea of the seed. We know what seeds do, but most of what we do is we go to Home Depot or a garden store and we get a plant and put it over there and it grows a flower. Maybe it's a little fruit tree, or guys like me, you know, we grow grass. But you don't get, now we do a little seed in the backyard, but you know, we just get it's already, you know, grid side up. It's already laid out, or you can roll it out. So Jesus' audience is hearing these parables, and they totally get it, but for us, it's a little bit out there. We rarely grow things from seeds anymore. But how many people have? Have you grown anything? Okay, we've got a bunch, right? Right? Yeah, she's wholeheartedly putting her hand up. That's good, and we know that it's fun, right? My experience is, I mean, I grew up in Florida. I grew up in Riviera Beach. And we had, my dad dug a hole, put a orange tree there, and it grew into a nice orange tree. And that's, he finally grew some grass, but there were six boys in the family. We used it for football and tore it to pieces. And he would be out there every night trying to get it gone. It would just be ripped up. We had a tree in the front, tree in the back, kind of some grass and weeds in our little piece of the front yard. But that's as much as I knew. Until I went up to Georgia, Kathleen and I went up to Georgia when we were first married, and we rented this house. And I think I've told you the story. The people next door now owned the house because it was their sister's. And her husband, or their brother-in-law, had a big, huge garden. So I learned, they said, there's a great garden over there just ready to go. It's been sitting there for 10 years since our brother-in-law died. It's fallow for 10 years. Like, fallow, what's that word mean? Fallow, fallow, fallow. And so the neighbor came and rotor-tilled it, Georgia clay, threw some good manure in for Mr. Smith down the street, who had great manure and good soil, and everything I put in just went beans. I never grew any of this stuff, beans, tomatoes, cucumbers, pumpkins. I can't remember it all, but I do remember, you know, within a couple days, just watering. I was so into it, you know, every day I was out there watering. A few days, little sprigs come up, and it was probably half as big as that row of, so it was a pretty big garden, especially for a guy who never did anything. And all these little sprigs start coming up, you know, it's like, ooh, this is so cool. Kathy, come out and look. She's like, yeah, I know. My grandfather had a big garden. But for me, it was a really cool thing, you know. I had to put the seeds, did a row, put the seeds in a quarter of an inch or a half inch, depending on the seed. Had to put them further apart if it was bigger than, like, beans. If the corn had to be further apart. All that stuff. And everything just went boom, right? I would tear off, shuck that corn before I even brought it and just eat it. It was called How Sweet It Is Corn. And then we had the 7 tomato plants that fed the city of Macon, Georgia. So many. And then the cucumbers, bushels and bushels of cucumbers. And even the tomatoes were, what was it, Best Boy and Better Boy. Tried 2 different, they're both awesome, right? Better than, you know, what we get in Florida and all that stuff. So the beans you could just eat out there in a field too. Half time I didn't even bring the stuff in. It was so good. So I get this whole idea of the seeds and the sprigs and how it comes out. But this idea of the sower just throwing seed to those people in that time, and even to anybody that's done any gardening, you don't just willy-nilly throw seeds everywhere. It's insane. And they probably all laughed and went, what an idiot this guy is. But then it got their attention, and then he's saying, this is the vision of God. The vision of God is very generous, throwing out. We don't know how it happens. It just goes in the ground and over, you know, he's up, he goes to sleep, wake, and out comes all this abundant fruit or trees or whatever. And then the vision of God is like the smallest of seeds, right? Maybe not the smallest of seeds, but it's hyperbole. Very small seeds create this bush or the shrub. And then that's a good place for the birds to make their nests and protect them, and maybe they eat the seed too, I don't know. Someone that knows will tell me after church, I'm sure. Your generosity, faith, knowing that you can just throw seed and it will grow. So that really struck the people he was talking to. And this idea of that the earth is so lush makes a lot more sense now that it's raining a lot and everything's really green, right? So probably the easiest thing I ever grew was back here in Florida. I was at St. George's. I was the priest in charge there. And we had a garden because they used some of that food to feed the locals that came, the homeless and all that stuff, anybody that wanted to eat. And a man named Keith, who was on our vestry and all that, and he was Mr. He could grow anything. And somehow we got talking about mulberry trees. So when I was a kid in Riviera Beach, there was a tree about 10 blocks south, and we found it, little kids on bikes, and we knocked on the door, so can we go to your mulberry tree? And the lady says, yes, but don't, as soon as you start throwing them, I'm throwing you out. So I hadn't thought about throwing them. Of course, one of the guys did, but anyhow, we're eating these things, and they're just so good, and they're so delicious, and they're very sweet. And I always thought I wanted a mulberry tree, right? So anyhow, I meet Keith, we're talking, da-da-da. He goes, oh, you want a mulberry tree? That's easy. I'll bring you a sprig. So he cuts off a little branch, right, maybe 6-8 inches. And he brings it, and he has it wrapped in like a napkin, like a wet napkin, right? He goes, okay, the directions are poke a hole in the soil, put it in there, cover it up, walk away. no water, no fertilizer, and it will grow. I'm like, this is my type of tree, right? No fuss, no mess, all that stuff. And so I did. And guess what, Katie? It died. It didn't work. So I go back to church next week. I go, it's a stick, you know? It's a dead stick. He goes, next week, same thing. I'm telling you. So I, you know, easy directions. And guess what? It grew. It's not a three joke. It's just a two joke. It grew. And then, I mean, it grew fast. And it's probably this high in a year. And it's not what I remember with the lady. It wasn't like a tree you could climb in necessarily. The branches get like about that big, but not a big. Maybe I imagined it as a kid, you know. But it grew. And what's awesome about mulberries is they come in clusters. So there's a long time you see nothing. You'll see, months will go by, and I call it the resurrection tree because it'll have nothing, barely leaves, and then here come the leaves, and then here come these little clusters all over. It's a cluster of three. So you'll see a dark berry, a group of berries, and then you'll see like a red one, kind of like a strawberry. It looks like a strawberry, and then like a, you know, strawberries are white before they even get red, like that. So you see three. And so as soon as it gets to like a deep purple, or almost black, you pick that one off and that one's ripe and ready. If you pick them off too soon, they're a little, you know, more, they don't taste as good, right? A little more sour. And then you can walk away for 3 days. That red one is now matured. It's purple. The white one is now red. And then you can sit there and just eat to your heart's content. I usually eat like 20 of them at a time. Just hang out. My wife's like, where are you? What are you doing? I'm enjoying life. It's out. It's wonderful. And it's just great tree. My nieces and nephews come over and they, you know, just eating it until they throw it. And I got to kick them out, but whatever. So, but this idea of really, Jesus used these very simple ideas, this idea of the vision of God, the kingdom of God is just like the smallest of seeds, and it produces this great bush, and it takes care of the lowly birds so they can produce, they have their nests and produce their young. This idea, like I said, the generosity of this crazy sower, the seed just throws seed really willy-nilly and generous, but hopeful and faithful that that seed will grow into something that's prosperous, right? This vision of God is not, and it says, and it also reminds us we don't quite know what happens, right? I mean, we do not that we have science, but in those days, they threw the seed, they knew it went into the darkness of the earth, and then poof, right? Something came out of it. And if you look at it, it's more about this vision of God, that things are put out there to prosper, to grow, to get bigger, to create more and more and more and more. And then it's all just given to us. It's all just pure gift, right? And that's just a mustard seed. That's not the rest of creation. So we always have to think about what's the first thing that we know God from? It's really creation. Some people love to walk in the woods. Some people love to go to the beach. I mean, as a kid, I remember just sitting there floating on the waves or attempting to surf. I won't say surf, but attempting to surf and just going, just looking at the endless sea, you know, seemed like to me. And there's just that feeling that God is in this, right? And not even putting two and two together, but just knowing that God created all this and that the cathedral of God is right outside our doors. Again, the vision of the smallest seed, though, I think what struck me is that the least among us are as important as the greatest among us. And Jesus brings that up more and more. It's very powerful. And Jesus teaches that we need everyone. That's God's vision, that everyone is as important as the other. That's kind of radical. It was radical in those days, and it's radical and very refreshing right now, right? This idea that we contribute to one body, which was one of the themes in the Gospels last week, one body, a diverse group of people, animals, creation, makes a more wonderful world. Instead of saying, I feel stronger, so I'm going to put down the weak. The weaker is important as the strong. You can't be strong if you don't have the weak, right? It's this idea, and it's so simple that we forget about it. We sometimes get lost in this dualistic world of big, small, great, crappy, whatever. It's always like that. Good, bad. Now, some things are like that. I mean, some things are black and white, right? But this idea that we live in this illusion, right, that we're strong, so we don't need other folks. We can be by ourselves. We can do just fine. You can, to a certain point, right? But are you really going to enjoy the beauty, the diversity of the whole world? And so I think he focuses on little things like seeds and this generous sower to make us think like, wow, let's get back to the super basics here. Think about God's vision of the world. God's vision is pretty simple, but it's also like it's integrated, right? The sower of the seed throws the seed, but the seed needs the soil. Seed can't grow on its own. It needs the soil to produce a plant. The birds of the air need that shrub to get their nests in so they can have babies, so they can produce, and we can keep this whole thing going. They need that protection, right? So all I'm asking you to do today is contemplate that those simple stories of Jesus. Those are the ones that really get to the heart of where we are in our lives and bring us all together as a community of faith here at St. Joe's. With that, I say amen.